Let's see if y'all can figure out how this is related. So when Jesus said they strained a gnat and swallow a camel, and then people, like somebody said to me recently, said, why does everybody seem to hate their job, you know? And I come to the conclusion it's not the job, it's the Pharisees. They strained at a gnat to swallow a camel. So if you try to eat a gnat, it goes down easy. If you try to eat a camel, you can't do it. So they find something easy to strain about, some little small thing, even though there's an elephant in the room. There's an elephant in the room, but they ignore that because that's their responsibility. They only focus on the minor stuff, which is your responsibility, which you have a bunch of minor stuff. But they don't focus on the big stuff, which is them, their responsibility. They strain at a gnat to swallow a camel. The reason people hate their jobs is not because it's the job. Job ain't that bad. It's the Pharisee. It's the Pharisee. See, they're not fair, you see. It's the Sadducee. They're not. They're sad, you see. The Pharisee is not fair. They can point a finger, but they got 3 pointing back, but they'll never see those three. I told you the story about my ex-wife. She says she looked out the front door and she saw this 18-year-old girl who was pregnant, not married. Can you believe that? And I looked at her. I said, well, how old were you when you... She was older than 18. How old were you when that happened to you? She got mad. She stormed off, and that was it. It was over after that. Cause I saw through her the game, her self-righteous. And another one. She said, she's part of the hive too. She says, She was just controlled by the hive. She says, I'm going to boycott Kmart because of blah, 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 whatever they were doing at the time. She says, she's asking my opinion. Like, we should boycott Kmart. I said, I really don't matter to me. Okay, yeah, that's fine. If that's what you want to do, yeah, we'll do it. If they support abortion or whatever, yeah, I'll boycott them. So the next day we were going to the grocery store, and I said, well, she said, we need this. I said, well, they don't have that at the grocery store. She said, well, I know they got it at Kmart. Well, you can go to Kmart. And I said, yesterday you said you were boycotting Kmart, and now because when you need something, because you don't want to sacrifice, you only said that in front of other people for self-righteous. I saw through her. And after that was over. That was the first one. I saw it in the first one. And then the third one that I didn't marry, thank God, I was in the drive-thru. I think we were in the drive-thru at a Burger King, yeah. I wasn't gonna marry her. You know, I knew it. I knew it before I even brought this. I knew it already. I knew it was just all lies. It don't take long. A liar, anybody who's a liar or a self-righteous who's pointing a finger but never can look at themselves, you already know it. It doesn't take about 30 days. And they can never admit sin, you know. So anyway, I was in a drive-thru, and she was telling a flat-out lie. I think she said somebody else lied, or somebody lied to me. And I took the rearview mirror and I pointed it into her. I pointed at her. I said, "You're looking at yourself, because you lie all the time." And she she came face to face with what she was, and she ran out of the car, ran out into the woods, ended up walking down the street on the sidewalk, just running from the truth, you know. In other words, this has happened multiple times. I'm just telling you three examples, but it happened a lot. Because when you're rubbing shoulders with somebody, they can't hide. They can't hide. And so you're dealing, and I've dealt with this on email, I've dealt with this in text, I've dealt with phone calls, I've dealt with this in on the job, in church, in person, in marriage, at the grocery store. I've dealt with it everywhere I've been. I've seen these examples. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about the elephant in the room. A person has an elephant in the room that they're guilty of, but they can't see it, and they focus on the little small details of somebody else. And it happens in corporations all the time. So the reason people hate their job is usually not the job, it's usually the leadership. 99.9999%. It's usually not the job, it's the leadership. If they hate their job, it's usually the leadership, because it's just a job. You take this stuff and you put it in this box, and you put it over here in this box. You take this item, you put it in this box, and you move it to this box. You ship this box through a box truck, and you send it to a box house, and you're done. You type on a box computer some code, and you make a program, and people buy, and you sell, and you ship it, and it's the same stuff. Or you clean a box, a house, or apartment, or whatever it is. You clean a box. It's not that complicated. You repair a box. You cut. Let's say there's a box that's falling apart. You take everything out. You take the box. You repair it. Put a new box, and then you put the stuff back in the box. Let's say you had to remodel a house or something. A house is just a box. So these box Pharisees, hypocrites, which is everybody, but they can't see their own junk, so they pick and choose little minute details, but they're guilty of the big stuff. So they strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. And that's your old flesh mind. So your old flesh mind, your old Adamic nature, strains at a gnat and swallows a camel. Come on now. Your old flesh mind strains at a gnat, swallows a camel. Look back on your life and try to find something where you did that. And if you're able to see it, praise God, because you're able to step back and see your identities in Christ, not in the old Adam, but the new Adam. So there's things in your life right now you might be doing that. And if you can see it, praise God. Why get mad at the messenger? It might be something to do with finances. You strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Let's see what I've dealt with finances before. Where I get mad or something. I might get mad at somebody charging me a fee, a 2 cent fee, and I pay a bill late and pay a $15 late fee. I should be more mad at myself than I am at that person charging me that 2 cent fee. You see what I'm saying? My point is, if you're introspective, you can see these things, but if you're not, you still have your identity in the flesh. So when somebody breaks the flesh, breaks the paradigm, breaks the program that you're running on, it's actually just a program. When somebody calls you and holds the mirror in your face and breaks the program, and you don't really want to do it, but they just keep going. They just keep going and going and going. Their hypocrisy is so insane, and you're rubbing shoulders with them every day. You don't really want to do it, but you can't take many more. And you say, look in the mirror. There's so many examples of, you know, let's say somebody who's wanting to recycle. Let's say there's a social justice warrior talking about recycling stuff, okay? And I could go, I don't want to say what I really want to say because YouTube will ban me. But y'all can pick some stuff. Let's say there's a social justice warrior who says, I'm going to recycle. And if you don't recycle, you're evil. Okay, so that's a social justice Pharisee straining at a gnat, swallowing a camel. So they say, I'm going to recycle. And if you don't recycle, you're evil. You better recycle all your plastic bottles. You better recycle this. And if you don't, you're evil. Okay? And so they put that law on everybody, right? And then you go to their house and you see a lot of waste. It might not be plastic, but it's other stuff. They might be a hoarder. There's stuff in the corner somewhere. Usually the social justice warriors usually are so bad that the only reason they're a social justice warrior is something's going on deeper. So these social justice warriors, aka Pharisees and Sadducees and legalists and all that. So the preacher says, you better not miss a day of church or you're not right with God. And you say, well, I thought this morning you said it was faith alone and Jesus alone, but now you're saying it's works. Which one is it, man? And then you go and you look at his bank account and he's stuffed his pockets with a bunch of tithes, which the tithe is not even for the church. But he stuffed his pockets, his bank, with the tithes. Yeah, you should take care of somebody that's preaching the word, but not a legalist. Because a legalist, let him be accursed. If any man preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. So the legalist is pure evil because they're preaching another gospel. Touch not, taste not, handle not, do this, don't do this, look here, don't look here. That's another gospel. It's faith alone and Jesus alone. God does the sanctification in the inner man. It has nothing to do with your outward show or outward works. Do you understand? Do you understand? Do you understand? They're straining at a gnat to swallow a camel. They cannot see their own stuff that's as big as an elephant, the elephant in the room, but they can see your little small stuff. That's my point. So when somebody, here's my point, here's the archetype, here's the pattern. When somebody's straining about some little detail, know for a fact there's an elephant in the room in their life, in their heart, in their mind, somewhere. If they're straining at a gnat, there's an elephant in their life that they don't want to face. Fact, Jack. Absolute archetypical pattern. That's a fact. Jack, put it in the bank. Everybody's guilty, a beggar at the cross. And so if they're straining about one little thing, oh, and this is why, this is why I would get mad. Somebody says, well, you shouldn't drink that Coca-Cola or that cheeseburger. Look, I know it. I know that. But don't strain about it. Tell me. Hopefully I would listen. And, you know, 10 years later I woke up and I listened. But why strain about it? Just tell them the truth. Move on. Why strain about it? If I'm sweating and I'm moving my arms and my legs all day, I'm going to sweat out a lot of the sugar. But I'm not justifying it at all. I'm saying sugar's bad for you. In the last year and a half, I've studied this. Sugar is your worst enemy. It brings inflammation. I agree 100%. But if somebody's going to do it, whether it's a drink or a smoke or anything that they sugar, whatever it is, I'm not their judge. It's small. It's minor. It's small. But the sugar is bigger than any, the alcohol and the sugar and the smoking is bigger than anything. But I'm not going to judge them. I'll sit there and talk to them, have fellowship with them. But if they get drunk, I'm walking away. If they blow the cigarette in my face, I'm walking away. I won't mess with them anymore. If they try to get me to go drink or try to give me donuts and cupcakes every day, I'm walking away from them because they know I'm my stand. Don't blow the smoke in my face. If you keep doing it, it's over. We cut ties. If you come around my house drunk, trying to do some work, you think I'm going to hire you? Come to knock on my door to give me a price and you're drunk? I mean, come on, people. This is not complicated. This is basic, elementary 101. But if you can see how the two are related, straining at a gnat to swallow a camel, if you can understand the legalistic corporate dead system to stress you out, you can see past the game and you won't let it worry you, because they're always going to find something. They're always going to find something. Always.